Welcome, family, to Love and Liberation Meditation. I am Alicia Anabel Santos, La Santera, and we are beginning The Seat of the Soul. We are reading The Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. With prefaces by Oprah Winfrey and Maya Angelou. Preface to The Seat of the Soul, 25th Anniversary Edition by Oprah Winfrey. I first read The Seat of the Soul in 1989. As with all books I'm excited about, I also bought copies for my friends and colleagues so everybody could be reading it at the same time. I happened to be the first to finish, which meant I had no one to discuss the book with, so I got my hands on the Mount Shasta, California phone directory and called Gary Zukav. Mr. Zukav, hello, my name is Oprah. I just wanted to talk to you about your book and would love for you to come on my show and share your... What did you say your name was? Oprah. Could you spell that, please? He said. I did. O-P-R-A-H. And the H is silent, I explained. And then I told him that I had a talk show and had to explain what a talk show was because Gary had been without a TV for several years. This, of course, made me even more eager to speak with him. I wanted to know how he knew what he knew. The things he'd written resonated so deeply with me and felt so true, but how did he know for sure? The Seat of the Soul changed the way I see myself. It changed the way I view the world. It caused a profound shift in the way I conduct all of my relationships, business and personal. The book came to me at the perfect time, at a moment in my life when I was ready for and open to more connection, more harmony, more peace, more joy. I could sense that there was more to our existence than day-to-day experiences and the rituals of work and relationships, more to life than our five senses could hold. The Seat of the Soul put into words what my own soul already knew and had been trying to tell me. It was such an exhilarating awakening to see affirmed in print what I hadn't discovered the language to articulate myself. When I first read the words, multisensory perception, I felt as though Gary had touched a nerve. In fact, the book felt like one great multisensory explosion. Everywhere I looked after reading it, I saw and experienced life in a new light. Gary's book was one aha moment after another, all steering me into the direction of true north. My favorite insight: when the personality comes fully to serve the energy of its soul, that is authentic empowerment. It's no big secret that I have a big personality. I've been using it to my advantage since the third grade, but using that personality to serve my soul and making sure the two were aligned changed the way I did everything. I suddenly recognized all the times I'd gotten off track by letting my personality rule. I started to notice that the degree to which I ever felt unhappiness, discomfort, or despair was in direct proportion to how far I let myself stray from the seat of my soul. The chapter that stirred me most was the one about intention. These words became my living creed. Every action, thought, and feeling is motivated by an intention. And that intention is a cause that exists as one with an effect. If we participate in the cause, it is not possible for us not to participate in the effect. In this most profound way, we are held responsible for our every action, thought, and feeling, which is to say, for our every intention. Those words changed my life. Prior to reading The Seed of the Soul, I suffered from the disease to please. Like millions of people, most of them women, I was a slave to the needs, wants, and desires of others. I would say yes when I seriously wanted to say no. I would give precious time and energy, money, gifts, whatever was asked, simply to avoid the possibility of upsetting someone. I once flew from Chicago to Spain, appeared on stage for less than 45 seconds at a friend's charity benefit, then got back on a plane and flew straight to work to do my show, all because I didn't know how to say no. To this day, I couldn't even tell you what the charity event was for. This sort of thing used to happen to me a lot. My life was a whirlwind of one event after another, nonstop speaking engagements, appearances for almost anyone who asked. I wanted people to like me, and as long as I gave them what they wanted, I suppose they did. My breakthrough was recognizing that my intention to be liked was causing all the requests, cause and effect. If your intention is to do what other people want, they will keep asking you to do exactly that. That was an aha moment when I changed my intention to be about doing what I wanted, what I felt was worthy of my time. The effect automatically changed. 25 years later, today, for me, moving with intentional purpose is like breathing. But I had to learn the practice from the pages of The Seed of the Soul. Gary Zukav's principle of intention fundamentally altered my every action. It even changed the consciousness of the Oprah Winfrey Show. When we first started, producers would present their ideas in a weekly pitch session. But after encountering Gary's ideas from The Seed of the Soul, I created a new policy. For all the producers, I would say, state your intention for the first show. State your intention for the show first. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? What do you want the outcome to be? Sometimes, producers who had to fill 200 show slots a year would make up an intention just to please me, and I would say, nope, not a good enough reason. Even if the intention had no redeeming value other than we just want to entertain people and get high ratings. I encouraged all of us to be clear about it. State your case with intention, with purpose, and the result will follow suit. On Gary Zukav's first appearance on my show in 1998, we discussed the nature of the soul. That interview set my career on a new course. Bringing spirituality to daytime television was uncharted territory. Having a conversation about consciousness, responsibility, intention, and the law of cause and effect was not exactly ratings-busting TV, but I told myself, if not now, when? To be honest, had I not owned and controlled the show, Gary's 36 appearances over the years would have never happened. My producers were convinced in the beginning that television wasn't ready for a conversation about the soul. But the course I took has served me well, and I continue to explore the spiritual side of life on my own cable network, quite frankly. I don't believe I would ever have dreamed of creating such a network had I not read The Seed of the Soul. I've taught leadership classes at the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls with the help of The Seed of the Soul. I've used its principles to teach elementary school students, high school students, even MBAs at the Kellogg School of Management. I get a surge of delight every single time someone reads this book and feels the amazement I felt 25 years ago. If you're ready to see the world in a new way, if you're ready for your life to open up and change, if you're ready for an exhilarating awakening. I think you'll feel it too. Preface to The Seat of the Soul, 25th Anniversary Edition by Dr. Maya Angelou. Courage. Courage is the most important of all the virtues because without courage, one cannot practice any virtue consistently. We can be kind, generous, just, courteous, and merciful sporadically. But to display those virtues consistently calls for an enormous display of courage. From childhood on, we have been taught that the heart, the mind, and the personality, the spirit, and the soul have come to life together, occupying the same space, and then they will go together into death. Be intrepid, daring. Gary Zukav, in his book, The Seat of the Soul, introduces a brand new concept to my mind, or rather a concept which I found in my youthful years in the Negro spirituals, which confused me because the lyrics suggested that pain and joy, weeping and laughing, were all together when death came and that they left together to go into death. The song, however, which often calls God the soul, informs the listener that the soul never dies, but will continue and bring into life another mind and personality, as well as other troubles and joys. They would bear the experience of living until death would relieve them of their responsibility. Then, as they died, soul or God would continue, as it could not die. Zukav, a respectful thinker, is able, in his book, The Seat of the Soul, to show the reader how human evolution is achieved by the continuity of the soul and the ability of a personality to die and another to be born a little better, a little stronger, and a little more daring. I don't know if the poet in Zukav took his hand and bid him tell the hard truths as easily as willow trees bow gracefully along the brookside. There are some readers who choose books for summer reading and others for vacation entertainment. The reader who chooses The Seat of the Soul should put the book on a shelf near the bed or on a lamp table, which boasts a good strong bulb. I keep my second copy of the book covered in plastic at the kitchen table so it will be protected from the years of use and so that the olive oil from a just-made salad will not smudge the cover. After reading Zukav's book for the 10th time, I still found it outrageous. I remembered a play I wrote called And Still I Rise. The two characters in the play, male and female, have died and found themselves in what they think is a waiting room. A ghoulish creature appears. The male character, named Zebediah, says, "I know who you are. You are the gatekeeper. You will take us to the place we are supposed to go, heaven or hell." The female character, Annabelle, adds, "I just noticed that. I didn't make it, but I truly tried to live a good life, clean, kind, fair." The eerie creature starts a little laugh, which turns into a huge laughter. He gazes at the two piteous-looking characters and says, "I'm always amazed, even startled, at the condition of human imagination. You think there is only a heaven or hell? Zebediah and Annabelle, in your futures alone, there are possibly 800 destinations. In my play, Annabelle and Zebediah, who had been sitting separately, move to each other without seeming to notice. Suddenly they are close enough to embrace, and they do. The lyrics of the 19th century Negro spiritual are, "Soon I will be done with the troubles of the world. The troubles of the world, the troubles of the world. I'm going home to meet my God. No more weeping and wailing, no more laughing and dancing, no more moaning and crying. I'm going home to meet my God." Obviously, the poet decided a minutia of daily life occupies one space, and that the true soul of the poet lives in another space which the poet calls God. I suggest to the new Zhukov reader to draw close, to share this book with someone who has firm nerve and a wonderful sense of humor, because when Zhukov's ideas stop challenging you, you will laugh with the wonderful laughter of the discoverer who has found a new continent. Oof. No more weeping and wailing. No more weeping and wailing. I'm going home to meet my soul. How gorgeous. I love you, doctora. Family, that concludes the preface of The Seat of the Soul.